Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When you turn the ball over really 3 drives in a row, it's like, all right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Picked off in the end zone by Carolina. Intercepted by Horn again.
Earlier on the show, Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore. Comedian Jim Gaffigan. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Jim Gaffigan just left us. I believe he's at LAX right now, which is great. We're very convenient to there. As a matter of fact, as soon as I'm done here, I'm heading there to pick Suze and Taylor up from the airport. They're back from New York City, which means you had your shot to have her drop something off at Carl Anthony Towns' place of business.
By the way,
I can't believe I don't understand taking your shot.
Get you don't understand, but if you look at YouTube. I went to the YouTube video Smitch posted. Overwhelmingly, the comments were on my side.
Oh.
About not, like, we split with them. It's a regular season game. Like, it's already.
Yeah, but he did the same thing to you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, sometimes you got to be above the fray. Didn't we talk about that earlier?
When there wasn't even an Eagles.
Yeah, he did it without even an Eagles
The game, he after the Lions blew the Cowboys out, he sent you something. Like so it wasn't even his, you know, argument to stake a claim in.
He all the cornball Eagles fans are like, Odell, it's your Super Bowl. No, last year, beating us is their Super Bowl, obviously, because they all took so much joy from winning a regular season game.
Hey, I just don't understand it. But anyway, that's a great promotion for our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show to see that video.
Comments were hot.
Not all that. Okay, very good. We always appreciate the engagement. It's called engagement.
Overwhelmingly on my side.
Okay, it's hot. Called engagement.
By the way, this bourbon.
I'm going to take a nap here.
Okay.
Pinky's out.
We're drinking on the job here with Jim Gaffigan.
Where's the booze? Rolling like mud around here.
Thank you, Chris. He brought his bourbon.
In hour one, we had Sherrone Moore, the University of Michigan football program, on. If you missed any of it, there's our podcast.
Fair and biased, everyone.
I was fair and balanced.
Unbiased. Sorry.
No, that's
again. You were biased. No, that was right.
Please stop drinking and talking on the job.
That was Thanksgiving.
We've already had people around here who did that.
Oh, wow.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Joining us now from Fox Sports is our friend Mark Schlereth back here in the program. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Right back at you, Mark. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody hit you in your spot, the forbidden speed bag, as Juwan had his Jennings hit last night? Mark, has ever happened to you in the game?
The old proverbial got hit in the coin purse. No, I've been okay with that. Every now and again, you'll get you'll get an accidental grundle shot, but I have not. Okay. I have not hit anybody there, and I have not been hit there.
I don't know what's going on in this league, man. It's take shots after the game, you know, which by the way is going to happen if you're trying to maintain composure during the game. And I'm sure the NFL doesn't want these handshake moments to be overtaken by open hand slapping. But we've seen that now three times this year, or twice this year. And obviously we saw what happened last week with the Steelers and the Bengals a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, is there any correlation between not allowing the NFL to have some frontier justice anymore and to take matters into your own hands between the whistle, like it used to be a day when you got a cheap shot or you had something you didn't like happen, then you just kind of tallied that, you know, you had a tally in your head and you said, okay, that's great if that's the way we're going to do this. But just know you're going to get yours here in the next couple of plays. And yeah, and it was just the way it was done. And we kind of policed our own league that way. And now, because, you know, you can't do any of that stuff, do guys get, you know, overly frustrated and then have to take matters in their own hands after the game when things don't, you know, when normally things calm down? So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the right answer or not.
No, I don't know if there is an answer for it. I just wanted to know if you had any experience in that sort of thing. All right. So Mark Schlereth, Carolina, Minnesota, New Orleans, who you are seeing this week, played the Dolphins, as you're calling that game on Fox, and then San Francisco. Those are the only teams that have buys left. No buys this week on Thanksgiving week. And then those are the four teams in week 14, meaning those are the only four teams that have five games left. Everybody else, it's a six-game run to the playoffs from their current positions or playing out strings. That said, is the setup. Taking a look at the standings in each conference, just to set everything up. Start with the NFC. Rams are, in my estimation, the best team in football. But I came to know your thoughts on the subject matter. And then you've got 8-3 teams in Philadelphia and Chicago as your division leaders. Seattle as the top wild card team. The Bucks hanging on as everybody's dropping there. Maybe they get Brocky Irving back. They currently lead the NFC. You got the Seahawks at 8-3, Packers 7-3-4, Niners 8-4 with the Lions at 7-4, Cowboys at 5-5-1. My setup for you, sir. Uh-huh. What are you looking to see over the last 6 weeks in the NFC? What are you most curious about in the NFC? What you need to see or you're eager to look forward to over the last 6 weeks, Mark?
Yeah, well, the NFC West is just unreal, right? With San Francisco winning last night, didn't look good. You know, Brock Purdy throwing three interceptions. But the NFC West with the Rams, and I agree with you, they're the best. They look like the best team in football without question. I think the Seahawks are a really good football team, very balanced. Made, you know, think about the decisions that they have made as just an organization. And you know, John Schneider's done just such an unbelievable job. One, he said, hey, man, it's time for Pete Carroll. You know, we're going to part ways with Pete Carroll. Brings in McDonald. You know, McDonald's done a phenomenal job. Gets rid of DK Metcalf. Makes the decision on Sam Darnold. Says, hey, man, Sam Darnold, the one thing about this dude is he's just a dude. Like, we love him. He's a dude. And guys respect his journey. Guys respect the work that he's put in to get where he's at. All these decisions that you made to say, hey, DK Metcalf, you've been our number one guy, but we think Smith and Jigba is going to take off. And he has just been as exceptional as anybody in football. So they're a really good team. I would probably put them as the second best team in the NFC right now. And then you got a bunch of other, you know, teams fighting for their spot. But the Rams clearly the best right now. And I think Seattle's really intriguing to me as well.
Yeah. And I would go with the NFC North. I can't wait to see how this plays out. Right. You got the Bears at 8-3 and then a half game behind of the Packers and one game behind of the Lions who play the Bears in Chicago to finish the season. The Packers have yet to play the Bears at all. They play them twice and the Lions take on the Packers on Thanksgiving. How this thing plays out is fascinating to me because what you just said in the NFC West, you can't get three teams in from both divisions. Somebody's going to be left without a chair, and the Cowboys have come on strong. We'll see how that plays out with the Chiefs on Thanksgiving Day. I'm curious to see how the North finishes up. That's my big question mark over the last 6 weeks here.
Yeah, I was looking at Chicago today, and I just kept thinking to myself, man, there's no way Chicago can they continue on this run? And you look at their last 6 weeks, man, they have got a brutal schedule with a couple games you mentioned against the Packers, Detroit to finish up. They've got Philadelphia. Like every team they have coming up, you see it. Cleveland is probably the only one there, but San Francisco playing pretty good football right now, albeit the three interceptions that Brock Purdy threw last night. Like that's a brutal schedule coming down the stretch for the Chicago Bears.
But you also point out it's a linchpin of not just, again, the NFC North, but also the NFC playoff picture. Certainly, you know, they're taking on Philadelphia this weekend, battle of the Eastern and Northern division leaders of Thanksgiving week, the 2 and 3 seeds in the NFC. And if they don't win the division, Chicago, based on other results, that San Francisco game could be about who has the seat and who doesn't in the wild card, right? Like that game itself. So that's a huge, I mean, Chicago might be the through line here, if you think about it.
It's really fascinating how tightly packed all these teams are at the top of their divisions. And it'll be fascinating to watch it as you know, the NFL does such a great job of scheduling things and making sure that all these games, all these divisional games, for the most part, are late and they're meaningful. And certainly we have that in the NFC North.
All right, let's talk about the AFC playoff picture entering Thanksgiving weekend. You've got the Patriots as the only 10-win team. How about that?
Yeah,
that's in the entire NFL. The Patriots are the only 10-win team. You've got the Broncos one half game behind them coming off of their bye. The Colts just lost to the Chiefs, who are at 6-5, the 10 seed. I mean, the Chiefs being the 10 seed, the Ravens have, in fact, run down the Steelers. We were all thinking at 1-5, can they do it? Well, entering Thanksgiving week, taking on the Bengals on Thanksgiving night, they have. The Chargers are coming off of their bye. The Jaguars have just won a bunch of games by the skin of their teeth. Their only loss since their bye after the London loss was a game that they led by 19 points. The Texans have come on strong. They're above 500, and the Bills face the Steelers this week. So what do you want to see out of the final 6 weeks in the AFC? Your biggest question is what?
Well, my biggest question, I suppose, like, I really like the teams that stack the top. I like, obviously, the New England Patriots, and you can say what you want. Vrabel's a hell of a coach. He believes in old school football, controlling both lines of scrimmage. And you can say whatever you want about Josh McDaniels as a head coach. As an offensive coordinator, the guy is phenomenal. He's just phenomenal. And Drake May's playing at an incredibly high level. The Broncos defensively, I mean, when you start talking about the Broncos or any team and you start hearkening back to the 1985 Bears, like anybody, and there's, I'm sure you have tons of people who watch you that don't really or aren't really familiar with what the 85 Bears did. But let me just say, coming in the league in 89 and playing the Bears, they were frightening even then. And when you start talking about a team in present day football that you can compare to the 85 Bears when it comes to pressuring the opponent's quarterback, that team is legit. They are scary. The Broncos defensively, and they've been doing it without, you know, without Pat Surtain. They've been doing it without Alex Singleton. So that'll be really interesting to see them down the stretch. You know, we talked about Baltimore. I'm telling you, like, Baltimore's interesting. Houston is really interesting to me because defensively, all three levels, they have superstars. And Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, like, unbelievable edge pairing. But Will Anderson, he doesn't try to just beat you. He tries to humiliate you. Like, he physically tries to like, shorten your neck. I mean, it's to watch him play, the physicality with which he plays is unbelievable. And I am not so sure they are going to get, they're going to get C.J. Stroud back. And I'm not so sure that the way Davis Mills has been playing, that he's not a better option right now. He's just played really good, solid football that complements what they do on the defensive side of the ball. So they're a really interesting team to me. And if the Colts stumble a little bit down the stretch here, you know, all of a sudden they start to stumble, their passing game falls apart like it did in the fourth quarter and overtime of that game against Kansas City. Could I see Houston reeling the Colts in and winning their, what, fourth straight division title? That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and the Jaguars are between them. You know, the Jaguars had a chance to sweep the Texans being up by 19. That is a loss that leaves a mark and keeps the Texans alive because that's the difference between being 8-3 like the Colts and the Texans being 5-6 and out of it, or what you currently see on the screen with the Colts have yet to play the Jaguars or the Texans. So the AFC South is definitely wide open. The question that I have over the final 6 weeks, you know, kind of dovetailing on what you just said, is which of the teams at the top that we didn't expect, even though the Broncos had a massive bandwagon coming into the season, but 9-2, I think, is above expectation. And certainly the opportunity they have at 9-2, the fact that the Chiefs are 6-5 is kind of surprising. Patriots being 10-2, Colts being 8-3. Which one of those teams can hang on to their amazing starts over the final 6 weeks of tight football? And which of the teams that are perennial AFC playoff contenders, if not favorites, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Texans, which one of those will actually survive? Which one of those will actually make it from their early season holes? 1-5 Ravens, 0-3 Texans, Bills once upon a time at 4-1, having lost more than they've won over the last couple of weeks. Which one of those might actually come from the pack?
I still, like, until they're dead, I still fear the Chiefs. And as much as I root for them to lose every game, what they did against the Colts was amazing. They held them to 18 yards total offense in the fourth quarter and in overtime. Defensively, they just made plays. And even when Patrick Mahomes and his receiving core and even Travis Kelce, they don't have that same magic that they always seem to have and be able to make those, you know, remarkable plays when things break down. They still found a way to come back down, 20-9 in the fourth quarter and win that football game. And like, they're the team to me that if they get in, like, their championship pedigree and the fact that they haven't been clicking on all cylinders on the offensive side of the ball, they still understand how to win. They made plays on the special teams. They made plays on defense. Like, that team still really scares me. If in fact they get in, they are the one team that really scares me.
And I know fans who watch shows like this one and hear folks like us, Mark, say over and over again, you know, the Chiefs aren't out until they're finally out, blah, blah, blah. And they might get sick and tired of that. It's the truth. This is a fact that backs it up, or a nugget that NFL Network or an observation, the research department there came up with, that I keep repeating and I will keep repeating, that in the Mahomes era, 7 years of being the starter, this is his eighth year being the starter, the seven previous seasons of him being a starter, the earliest a Chiefs season has ended is overtime in the AFC Championship game. Five Super Bowl appearances, two overtime losses in the AFC Championship game. So not even in the division round, not even in regulation of the AFC Championship game. That's the earliest a season has ended for the Chiefs. So that's why you and I think, are saying until it's over, it ain't over.
And think about how many times, Rich, we've seen them make remarkable plays. Like, one thing about Mahomes is that dude can play on schedule, and he can play as well as any quarterback on schedule. But what separates him is his uncanny ability to play off schedule and to be on the same page where everybody on that offense just seems to see the same thing, where they can alter a route in the midst of a game where they're lining up on the line of scrimmage. We remember the overtime game where they beat the Buffalo Bills, I think, in the divisional round with 13 seconds left. They said, oh, yeah, we just kind of, as we're walking up the line of scrimmage, Travis and I just kind of changed the play. And you know, we pick up I don't remember what exactly the game was, like 30 yards or something. Like, yeah, we just looked at each other and we knew this is what we're running. They haven't had that this year. That hasn't been part of kind of their makeup. And yet here we sit at 6-5, and you keep saying, well, if they get to that again, if eventually that comes and rears its you know, beautiful head, if you're a Chiefs fan, ugly head if you're the rest of the NFL, then we're in trouble. Like, because they still can play on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, and in terms of that, you know, when we're talking about the Chiefs here, and with all due respect to Denver, and we just also established the AFC South is wide open. That's why I would choose, of any of the teams that have started well in the AFC to finish and not stumble, I would choose New England because of the way that the quarterback is playing. And then, I don't know, did you hear the soundbite from Vrabel after they beat the Bengals in a tight game? Did you hear that?
No.
Play this for Mark Schlereth, please.
Mike, how much of a battle was this?
It was. Mentally from start to finish. That's what happens in this league. You know, you need everybody, and you go through the season, you go on the road, and you know it's tough, and nobody wants to talk about numbers and records. That doesn't mean
That's it. That's a soundbite. And you just stood there and said, next question. Yeah. Records and stats don't mean S. And I heard that, and I'm like, you know, this is also the guy who is shaking hands with everybody before they go in the locker room. So he's rallying them, but he's also keeping their feet firmly planted, and he's got an incredibly generationally apparently talented quarterback to lead him in an opportunistic defense that if they tighten things up in the red zone, man, they could be particularly tough to beat, for sure.
I love Vrabel. Man, that dude, like, you sit down with Vrabel one-on-one, he can be a salty bitch, and he can be great at the same time. Like, he's very much that way, and he's a no-nonsense guy. Like, he demands, you know, he demands great study habits. He demands great practice habits. He demands all those things. At the same time as being a hard ass, he's incredibly relational with his players. And you see it. You mentioned him handshaking guys. Like, you go down and watch practice, and I've been to several Patriots games, done several games this year, and watching him at practice, man, he puts on the, you know, the off-color penny. And he's out there playing middle linebacker. He's out there playing, you know, edge linebacker. And, I mean, he's mixing it up on Friday practice with the guys. It just is like his vibe resonates with players. They want to play for him. And he believes in old school football, in that we're going to control the lines of scrimmage. And we're going to do that on both sides of the ball. And, damn it, we're going to play, you know, disciplined football, and we're going to come out on top playing this way. And I just, you know, there's times when you know, you sit down and talk with him, you're like, come on, dude. And then, you know, we played against each other, like, you know, ease up a little bit. And then there are times when we just laugh and we, you know, reminisce. And so he's just a really interesting cat. And I think he's just one of the best coaches in the National Football League.
Plus one, man. What does the Thanksgiving scene for the Schlereths look like? Paint it for me.
Oh, Mark, we are right here. The kids are coming in on Wednesday.
Grandkids
are going to be in Michigan this. So we just, Lisa and I, my wife and I, just went out to Disney World. I had the weekend off last weekend, so we went out to Disney World and ran the streets with the grandkids. And so, anyhow, that was our Thanksgiving with them.
Do you go on the rides? Does Grandpa Mark go on the rides with them?
Oh yeah.
What are we like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? What sort of speed are we? Are we roller coaster?
I love the roller coasters, but my left knee, there's some that I can ride, there's some that I just can't get my leg into because it won't bend enough. So but yeah, I was knee deep in roller coasters and you know, the Tower of Terror and all those fun ones, Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster, you name it.
Okay, and let me make sure here, you'll be back in the state of Florida calling Saints at Dolphins.
Yes, I will.
Gone Foxes weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving. I am thankful for your friendship and love talking ball with you, man. Love chopping it up.
Likewise, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well, sir. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, I'll be working, but it's all good. That's what we do this time of year. Thanks to Mark Schlereth, everybody back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another terrific appearance, calling Mike Vrabel something I would never call to his face. Although I do just remember, speaking of him being a salty, you know what, having a pre-broadcast meeting with him in London when the Titans were out there. And Jamie Erdahl was in the room, and he says to Jamie, love watching you on Good Morning Football. My wife loves watching you. We love the show. It's really great. And he gave her a compliment, and I just thought I'd have a little bit of fun. And I just paused, and I'm like, what about the Rich Eisen Show? You know, the Vrabels aren't watching that. And he just looks at me and goes, no. He goes, you want a compliment too, Rich?
That's my coach.
Don't you want?
I'm so happy.
You're happy that your coach doesn't want to watch you on television?
No, just that
that's not why I'm happy.
No, just like, you know.
But interesting that you took that way.
No, let me explain.
What do you mean, interesting?
Excuse me, stewardess.
That was a very rich thing that you just said.
Stewardess, I speak New England.
Okay.
Okay.
You were expecting everyone to, but
anybody
sure,
who fishes for a compliment gets the back of the hand. Anybody who fishes for a compliment in an obvious joke, back of the hand. It's just it's not what we do. Am I right? Am I correct? Did I interpret that appropriately?
Yeah. Don't be needy.
Don't be needy. Oh, folks from New England do not like needy at all. And what they also like, they're happiest when they are most unhappy. And what makes them unhappy is somebody who's needily fishing for a compliment.
I love he said, like, I would expect that, and you have to break down to everyone what that means. Like, either say what you mean or you know what I mean. I don't want to have to guess.
Well, that's why I'm interpreting for you.
I'm just talking about
New England.
His comment.
I speak New England. I've married into that family.
And, not called assholes for nothing, Richard.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Del Tufo.
I will chime in and chime in.
I've never lived in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but you're a fan of
it. You're adjacent.
You're adjacent, exactly.
Yeah.
Adjacent.
I won't say what I'm saying in my head. 844-204-RICH is the number. There's a certain body part that's around the bend from them. You know what I mean? That's where you are.
Let's go.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today. As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Terzo in Iowa, one of our longtime favorites and longtime listeners and longtime callers, has been hanging on for a long time, and he's a diehard Niner fan. You're 8-4, sir. 8-4.
Yes, we are, Rich. That was an ugly game. You know, unlike Brockman, I still have faith in Purdy. And some of those throws, two of them, he was just completely off on his timing. And one, if he would have just stepped up and run the ball, we wouldn't have had to worry about the turnover and he would have got the first down. So I'm happy for the win. I think the game that you were talking about with the Browns, Rich, that was in 2003 when Moody missed two crucial field goals there at the end of the game in the rain.
I'm looking at the results here. The Browns beat the Niners 13-12 in 2003. But Jake Moody, who I know Niners fans love to bash around, that loss might have come. I don't think he was in the league in 2003. They lost in 2023. That might be it. They lost 19-17 in their last visit there. The Niners eviscerated them at home 31-3 in 19. The Browns have won. Look at this. The Browns have won the last four games against. Wait a minute. More than that. The Browns have won. They beat them in 2023 in Cleveland. They beat them in 2015 in Cleveland. They beat them in 2007 in Cleveland. They beat them in 1993 in Cleveland. The Niners have hold on a minute. When was the last time the Niners have won in Cleveland? Let me look at this up. It's 1984. How about that?
Wow.
41-7. I mean, the Niners have gotten them a lot in San Francisco, but we've struck on that. And again, they're feeling it with Shador.
Miles Garrett's going to be coming, it's going to be a tough game for us. And I think them losing to Cleveland in the win-loss game.
Let me see. I have these stats here. Hold on a minute. I can't find it.
Yeah, it's been a
while. I've got it right here on the table.
Oh, man.
Terzo in Iowa. Let me get this right. Happy Thanksgiving to you, by the way, as well. We are thankful for you and your fandom and friendship.
Terzo, do you have Thanksgiving at Carl's?
No, you had them winning, buddy.
Hey, yeah, we actually do. They have a great spread. They cater it in every year. And it's so lovely, and I make the gravy for everybody.
You had them losing in Seattle to start the season. You had them losing at the Rams. You're a little off on these, buddy. You had them losing in Arizona. You had them losing in Houston. And you have them going 11-6, which may be their final record. By the way, that would mean they had to go 4-2 the rest of the way, which is entirely possible. I mean, there's some winnable games for them. But this one, that's unbelievable. I think that's correct. They have not won in Cleveland since 1984.
Wow.
Terzo in Iowa right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you.
Have a great Thanksgiving, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
That's Terzo right there.
Take care.
Dude. Oof. They don't want. They'd love to break crazy. That. Weird stuff happens for them in Cleveland. And again, the Bartolo family and the Yorks, I think as well, are all from that area. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Let's get an update on Aaron Rodgers. We keep talking about, there was a great ball talk with Schlereth about what do you want to see in the final 6 weeks of the season, and I said, who started well can actually finish, and the Ravens have, and who didn't start well, how can they finish? The Ravens have caught the Steelers. The reason why they're the 4 seed and the Steelers are the 8 seed right now is because the Ravens are undefeated. They've beaten Cleveland twice in division, and the Steelers are 2-1 in division. That's just the reason why it is what it is right now. Obviously, they have to finish the schedule, and next up on the schedule for the Steelers are the Bills. That's a 7-8 game. That is big. That is just massive, because which team that is the habitual perennial AFC contenders, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans, I think I just named you the final four most of the AFC years, right, of recent days, and which one of those are going to make it and which one of those are going to fall off? And is Aaron Rodgers going to play this weekend? What does it look like the top of this week after Rodgers sat there and watched his team go against the Bears in Soldier Field? That had just gut Aaron Rodgers that he couldn't play. Tomlin had this to say about Rodgers' readiness for this game this week.
Aaron obviously, man, worked his tail off to get to us last week. But as I mentioned, over the course of the weekend, it was a prudent and appropriate decision. We'll start this week with great optimism, although we certainly will limit him at the early portions of the week, provide opportunities for the other quarterbacks while preserving him. But again, we're comfortable with the general trajectory, but I'll keep you updated, and his level of participation and the quality of his participation over the course of the week will be the greatest indicator.
All right. That's Tomlin speak for... We don't know.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know? Yeah. But how can he know? No. I mean, he's a 40-pushing 41-year-old guy with a break in his non-throwing hand.
Yeah, that's what TJ and I were talking about pre-show. It's like him sitting out last week was kind of a no-brainer. Something like that, if you just fall funny and, you know, it's broken and you're out for the season. Yeah. Maybe your career's over. Like, why risk it?
Just to play against the Bears. The Bears for some record that doesn't mean anything to a Steeler fan.
Yeah. So.
And Rudolph almost pulled it off, too.
Yeah.
Although there was one moment that I think everybody's seen on their socials, right, where Rodgers was caught on the sideline, seeing that they were wrong and they were lined up in the wrong formation, and you could see he was put his hands on his head like, you're in the wrong formation, and in fact they were called for illegal formation, which is why you want Rodgers out there, with all due respect. I mean, he's neck up, one of the greatest ever, and he's still as sharp as ever, neck up. He would sit there. He's seen from the sideline you're in an illegal formation. You would definitely know that standing from shotgun. So if they can have him out there, that would be great. Rodgers versus Allen, that's the stuff we want to see, man. We just want to see it.
Yep.
You know, that's, that's five MVP trophies on the same field.
Three, yeah.
Correct? I got that right, didn't I?
Five, yep.
Right, so I lose track of the number Rodgers has.
It's four, right?
So that's it. And by the way, somebody also in the press conference had the temerity to go deep X's and O's with Mike Tomlin. We have a new drop. I think you'll notice the voice, with all due respect to our longtime Rich Eisen show voice. We told Chaz to this one where we got O'Shea Jackson Jr. The new drop for this terrific Straight Outta Tomlin moment.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Our kicker is a serial killer.
Straight Outta Tomlin.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone? Or is
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depth of your question.
Straight Outta Tomlin.
First off, fantastic. O'Shea, obviously.
Well, you guys had that thought, right?
Nails
like,
it.
You got to get him.
Yeah. First time I heard it, I was like, maybe.
It was like,
maybe
we should upgrade.
I mean, he was coming in that day, and I was like,
I love the way Tomlin puts things. He could be a military general, in a movie or something, just the way he speaks, he would nail the role without a doubt with the language and the verbiage.
Like, again, the line from Full Metal Jacket, what is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Yeah, like, perfect.
Without the numbnuts.
No, he could probably be a drill sergeant. I'm sure he would have nailed that part as well.
Just like, but I appreciate the depth of your knowledge. The best of them. That was funny.
Man.
God, I do love, obviously.
He could have been a poet laureate, Mike Tomlin.
It's still time.
Right.
It's still time.
By your phone, man. I may need to.
speaking in prose, we do have a Jerry Jones soundbite from his 105.3 The Fan conversation.
Jerry, I'll accept this one because I'm still feeling good.
Okay. Right? So, well, that's coming up next.
There's less pie.
That's coming up next right here.
We still
on
have more pie over there.
Rich Eisen Show.
Might
don't you
more.
Dare go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah.
Sonos, everybody, is a sponsor of the Rich Eisen Show, and we love Sonos in our household. You will love it in your household as well. The favorite playlist that you got, flowing from room to room. Imagine a movie night that feels like you're in the theater, a big game filling your living room with stadium quality sound. Or in the case of, say, last year when Michigan went to Ohio State, the silence is amazing on a Sonos speaker. It's so great. It's almost as if I was there planting a flag myself.
Wow.
Sonos' Black Friday sale is on right now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. All right, I mentioned this before, and it's kind of surprising. When we were talking about an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, Chris says Jackson Smith and Jigba, the Ohio State's one of their finest to come out of Columbus into the National Football League, where he is dominant in Seattle. It's his Offensive Player of the Year award to lose at this point.
Indeed.
I called that an overreaction because there's McCaffrey, there's Taylor, and there's also, you know, obviously he can win it, and it's entirely possible that he will. I mean, he already has the single season record as for a Seattle Seahawks team record already, single season team record, more than Largent, more than DK Metcalf, and he's got six games to go.
That was wild.
So he could threaten a 2,000 yard season if he starts balling out. But anyway, the reason why I bring all this up is I looked up who else could be close to him. There's only one other 1,000 yard receiver in the NFL this year, and his name is George Pickens.
GP3.
He has been GP3. I like it. He's been balling out. And so, in his weekly Tuesday appearance on 105.3 The Fan in the Metroplex, Jerry was asked if George Pickens is going to be on the Cowboys next year.
Ooh.
No, I do not at this time.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. Let's restart it, restart it. I set that up wrong. He was asked if Pickens was going to be on another team next year. Did I get that right, Mike Hoskins? Does he envision George Pickens playing elsewhere next year?
There you go.
That's the setup.
Because you scared me there for a
second. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do it. That's why I stopped it and said, my bad. By the way, you want to play the slow Sports Center theme?
Yeah, it's a damn act to get
that
it.
That's a better one.
Said it for you. I was about to start overturning furniture in this
Whenever a sports anchor screws up on Disney, they should play this.
That's right.
Oh, so sad. We'll be back in a moment. All right.
Rich, that would mean those other people would have to acknowledge they did something wrong, and they'll never do. You know, you do that.
This is crucial. I don't want to give you and everybody else a heart attack.
Yeah, I was about to run out the studio.
Okay, he was asked if he envisions George Pickens being somewhere else next year. Hit it.
No, I do not at this time. We've got two number one receivers, and that's it's just exceptional. Right at the time when, guess what, our quarterback is probably the best that he's ever been.
If it got to it where the money came out and he was demanding and commanding more money than CD, would you feel comfortable with the dynamic of maybe him making more money than CD?
Listen, there's nothing that we can do. I know it's fun, but there's nothing that we can gain from speculating and conjecture. The bottom line is that we're in good shape. We've built a trade so that we could have potentially our options. Frankly, he's lived and is playing better than we could have even anticipated, and he's an outstanding, let me emphasize this again, outstanding teammate. Bottom line, it's working, and it's propitious to have it here right at this time, and what we're trying to do with Dak and how we're trying to maximize having him.
So, TJ, I ask you, how does it feel to hear Jerry give the right answer, potentially be baited into negotiating a new contract for George that makes him a higher paid player than CeeDee Lamb, and he handles that,
man,
as deftly as you possibly can? The Cowboys over the last 2 weeks have been playing terrific football, looking nothing like the team that started 3-5-1, and looking everything like a team that's 2-0. How is this making you? Are you feeling a little off about it, or what? Because are you nervous? Nervous-sighted is the word Susie came up with for our kids to understand. It's okay to be nervous and excited at the same time. Because he just stuck the 10 out of 10, no notes on that response.
I mean, that was the right thing to say, right? That's what, as a fan, he has to say. We don't care as fans who's 1-2. Like, I don't give a crap who's 1-2. Just both of you catch the ball when it's thrown at you. And if one of you's making a little bit more scratch than the other, so be it. Neither one of you are going broke anytime soon. So
it's incredible. Mm. And by the way, if we could just rack that back and play the first soundbite, does it sound like Jerry, or did Jerry just say, I'm busy Thanksgiving week, and give the phone to Caliendo, who's basically holding his nose in a small room and in an airport to fill in? Let's listen to this right here.
No, I do not at this time. We've got two number one receivers.
Doesn't that sound, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't
just
that sound
exceptional?
Right, we're done. Just, you know what I mean?
Well, do we know when it happened? Jerry could have been kicked back with some bourbon, feeling good.
Yeah. Well, Jerry's a blue guy. And Jerry's a Scotch man.
Right now, it is 5 o'clock somewhere for the Cowboys. Because
you're making billion-dollar deals?
Pickens has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Javonte Williams, you hit it.
Incredible. That was awesome.
Offensive line, 100% held up strong.
They're turning into what he wanted.
The defense kept getting put back out there on the field by the Philadelphia defense kept put back there on the field because the Dallas defense was holding the Eagles off offensively. They have messed up the Eagles' world for this week, going into Thanksgiving week. Quinnen Williams next to Kenny Clark has 100% fixed whatever problem they have running the ball. DeMarvian Overshown is back, and Schottenheimer is the consoler in chief there.
Yep.
Because they're talking about Marshawn Nealon and winning one for Marshawn. They've done it twice now in a row, and the offense looks terrific. Eberflus is a terrific defensive coordinator with the right people there. And
you kept saying it all year and all year. I was like, you're so off on this. And now it's like,
Look, he's back.
He's turning it around a little.
No, you're higher register.
Well, that's just because I know who's coming, man. 15's coming. And
yes, he
it
is.
Doesn't matter if he's 10-0 or 0-10. Like, that man's a problem.
I am telling you.
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
I don't think there's a very, you know, thin line I'm going on here on him, but 100% the most watched regular season football game in the history of the National Football League on television is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chiefs at Cowboys.
Yeah.
One hot, book it.
Doesn't get to 50.
I think 100% it gets to 50.
Million viewers.
I know what you're referring to. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spinal Tap 11 is $50 million bucks. It's that.
Bruv.
Romo, Nance, the whole business. It's coming for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is a big game.
Fourth straight Chiefs game that Nance and Romo have
understatement,
called.
Understatement, TJ.
Yeah, it is big.
Yeah, understatement.
And Jerry's talking on point, too. My goodness. What's happening?
Where's the booze?
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.